Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A report by the legislature's nonpartisan budget analysts shows it'll be difficult to reduce the state budget next year. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
The state budget this year includes several items that will raise costs by $200 million next year. That's according to the Legislative Finance Division. They're the experts who provide nonpartisan budget analysis for lawmakers. David Teal is the division director. He says the report lets lawmakers know that some of the things the legislature did this year can't be repeated.
With one-time money, et cetera, in the prior session can leave some holes.
The biggest hole will be from Medicaid. This year's budget includes $50 million less than the program is projected to cost. Teal says there isn't much state officials can do to avoid this cost.
If you're eligible and you go get medical services, the state's obligated to pay those costs.
The second biggest budget hole is from the pension obligation. Based on the latest numbers, the state should contribute $38 million more next year to shore up government and school workers' pension funds. Another problem is that the legislature won't be able to draw on some funds that it used this year. An example is a program that is phased out, the Alaska Comprehensive Health Insurance Fund. There was more than $30 million left in this fund that the legislature used to pay for other costs. Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman asked for the report. He's the chairman of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. Stedman says the report highlights the challenge of cutting the budget.
So the likelihood of the legislature going in and removing required expenditures, well, it's going to be politically challenging.
The report points out an even bigger challenge for balancing the budget in the future. In addition to paying out the $200 million spelled out in the report, it would cost nearly $900 million more to pay for the full permanent fund dividends under the formula in state law. Teal notes that the legislature passed a law drawing from permanent fund earnings to pay for state government services.
There's no difference mathematically between paying dividends and spending money on K-12 or Medicaid.
The 10-page report is available on the Legislative Finance website. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
A reality TV show featuring Fairbanks police was given the okay by the city council Monday night. KUAC's Robin reports.
Engel Entertainment approached the police department in the spring and sent a TV crew to Fairbanks for a visit. While here, they shot enough video to produce a short recruitment piece, which will be released to the public in about a week. Police Chief Eric Jukes says the company wants to make a television series about cops in Fairbanks.
The goal of this was not a traditional cops-type TV show where they just ride along and see what we do. The theme of this was a journey of someone who came from out of state to venture into law enforcement in Alaska.
Negotiations for a TV show, as well as the deadline to sign the contract, was a surprise to some on the council who saw it only recently. The contract language had been reviewed and changed by City Attorney Paul Ewers, who negotiated with the company, deleting some contract clauses and adding others.
I just want to make it clear that the contract you have in front of you doesn't have all of the changes that we proposed. And there's some that they insisted on and insisted that it must be signed tomorrow. So this is a take it or leave it provision.
Council member June Rogers did not like the time pressure of such a tight deadline.
I don't see where it's wise of us to succumb to that kind of pressure, sign the contract or it's gone tomorrow. It just doesn't seem to be fair play. If they're giving us that kind of an ultimatum, I don't feel comfortable with that.
Ewers wrote in a clause giving the police department authority to review the TV show episodes for objectionable material that might embarrass the department or the city. That was enough to convince other council members. Rogers voted against it, but the resolution was approved. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Also at Monday's meeting, the council approved a contract with the Firefighters Union. The new contract, which is retroactive to the beginning of the year, gives firefighters a 2.3% wage increase for the first year, but allows the city to renegotiate wages for the second and third years. The International Association of Firefighters Local 1324 has 41 members working for the city. Two major military exercises are scheduled to begin next week. Stryker Brigade soldiers from Fort Wainwright and Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson will deploy to the Fort Greely area for 2 weeks of field training, and the Air Force will launch its latest round of Red Flag aerial combat training out of Eielson Air Force Base and Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
The Army calls the large-scale training exercise Arctic Anvil. It's designed to test the mettle of the Fort Wainwright Stryker Brigade combat team with realistic scenarios and tough adversaries from other units and allied nations. U.S. Army Alaska spokesman John Pinnell says the biennial exercise requires a lot of preparation and personnel.
Right around 6,000 when you factor in all the soldiers, the support personnel, and everyone involved with the exercise.
This year's Arctic Anvil includes a light infantry unit from Canada and observers with a Japanese tank unit. During the 3 weeks the exercise is underway, the personnel will more than double the population of the area, which includes both Fort Greely and nearby Delta Junction.
Quite an influx into the Delta area.
The influx will require numerous convoys of Army vehicles transporting soldiers and materiel from Fort Wainwright to the Donnelly Training Area south of Greeley. Pinnell says the convoy traffic will be especially heavy next week and again near the end of October.
The heaviest days will be the first 6 to 7 days of October as the units from the 1st Stryker Brigade move into the Donnelly Training Area. And then again, towards the end of October, between the 21st and the 27th, as they move back to Fort Wainwright.
Pinnell says the Army's been working with the State Department of Transportation to come up with ways to help motorists share the road with clusters of slow-moving Army rigs.
What we're looking at is trying to make sure that the convoys are moving, not during peak hours, when people are going to be commuting back and forth. We are trying to get, a little bit more space in between the convoys.
We'll also be reducing the speed limit between Delta and just south to Donnelly Dome from 65 miles per hour to 55 miles per hour during this exercise.
Transportation Department spokeswoman Meadow Bailey says the agency will try to inform motorists about that 16-mile stretch of speed limit reduction and other temporary traffic control measures with signage and online posts.
We have message boards out so that the traveling public sees those messages, and then we'll also have some social media posts about it.
Pinnell says the tempo of Arctic Anvil operations will be heaviest from October 9th through the 20th. He says those will include live fire exercises with artillery and other ordnance. And he says some of the operations will be conducted jointly with aircraft and personnel participating in the next round of Red Flag, which also gets underway next week. That's the latest round of the Pacific Air Force's aerial combat training exercises. That'll involve, this time, units from both Eielson and Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. That training will take place in the sky above the Joint Pacific Alaska Range Complex, a 65,000 square mile patchwork of ranges scattered throughout the interior. In Delta, I'm Tim Ellis.
Fairbanks International Airport is conducting firefighter training today. Airport spokeswoman Samantha Loud says the training does not involve PFAS-containing foams, which caused area groundwater contamination.
The fire suppressant being used is water only. The only time the Fairbanks International Airport will use foam is during the once-a-year FAA-mandated training.
Loud adds that last year the airport switched to a new type of Federal Aviation Administration-approved foam fire suppressant that's less likely to cause groundwater contamination.
It's a shorter C6 chain and isn't as likely to break down into other compounds.
Loud says a training burn pit where overspray allowed foam to run off into the ground in the past was recently closed, and the airport is looking at an alternative means of conducting required foam application training using what's called a no-foam trailer.
It simulates a foam discharge without actually using foam.
Groundwater contamination from past use of PFAS-containing firefighting foams at the airport has affected over 60 wells in surrounding neighborhoods. I'm Dan Bross.